I won't speak as long as I did before, but I do want to again ask for your prayers. If you'll just pray that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you are able to hear what he wants to say to you. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, we couldn't have planned a silent retreat at a better time than when we get this gospel about Zechariah being released from silence. He was, of course, given not just a 3-day, but a 9-month silent retreat. Good old Zechariah. His doubt, we could say, was punished, or I hope your experience of this weekend, you'd say, he was blessed to have a 9-month silent retreat, because it is beautiful to be in silence. And we'll discover, as we allow things to settle within us, and although Zechariah was given a tablet and able to write, I don't necessarily encourage you using your tablets, at least with the internet on and the email on and a lot of other ways that you can do a lot of stimulating your mind while keeping your mouth closed. That wouldn't be the best way to take advantage of this weekend. Put it in airplane mode. Tell people you'll call them on Sunday. If there's an emergency, give them Brother Hugh's number. He'll find you. But to really silence the outside, not just for the sake of silencing the outside, but it does help, and we can understand the remedy that God made for Zechariah's doubt being the remedy of silence. By silencing his mouth, Zechariah had a lot of time to think about his doubt, about his relationship with God. He apparently at some point in his life had offered this prayer, because when the angel came to him, he said, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. And he didn't believe it when it was answered. So maybe it was a prayer he spoke many years ago. Maybe it was a prayer that he spoke half-heartedly. But the point is that when we have too much going on internally, we have a hard time hearing internally. We need to create a space for the Lord, a space to encounter him, a space to receive his mercy, not to keep covering up those areas in us that are miserable, that are ugly, that we want to keep hidden, that we don't want to face. And so we cover it up with a lot of noise and a lot of busyness, a lot of distractions, a lot of excuses. But this is a time, like with Zechariah, we can open up those places. The Lord's mercy always goes ahead of us, and we can allow him to take our hand and gently lead us into those places where we need his healing and his mercy, and face those parts of ourselves that we don't even want to look at. But God wants to show us that he sees beauty there. He sees lovable littleness in those places in us. And he wants to show us how he loves them. So he takes our hand and leads us into them in silence. So we can take this time in silence and let it be really fruitful for us as a way that those doubts, which tend to be like the winds and the waves, to float up here somewhere and allow ourselves to settle down here somewhere where still waters run deep. And we can allow ourselves to be with the Lord in those still places and allow the winds and the waves of the outside world to do their own thing somewhere else while we settle here with the Lord. We heard in our responsorial psalm, you have knit me together in my mother's womb, and we praise the Lord because we are wonderfully made. And I already made the claim to you that God doesn't seem to be so perfect as We think our engineers and our manufacturers ought to be perfect, getting everything all in the right places without blemish, because God creates a lot of things that seem to have mistakes in them. We can think of the parable or the historical account of Jesus encountering the man born blind. And the effort to explain this was, who sinned? He must have done this to himself. God doesn't make things imperfectly. God doesn't make blind people. He must have done this to himself, or his parents did it to him somehow by their sin. And this is the kind of logic that was prevalent at that time and the logic which can still be prevalent in us. Whose fault is it that there's something messed up here? And we can imagine that Elizabeth could have asked this question. What did she do wrong that she was barren? And that's the kind of question that they would have asked. There's a story, this would be one of those accounts actually from Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. It's not scripture, but there's a story of Joachim and Anne also having struggled with barrenness. And Joachim went to the temple to offer sacrifice, and the priests in the temple made fun of him and offered his sacrifice in the worst place as ridicule for the fact that his wife was barren, and they saw that as a curse upon him. And so we can end up in this mentality that everything that doesn't work like everybody else, when my body doesn't look like, when my life doesn't work like everybody else, or like the way that I want it to, that I must have done something wrong or somebody else must have done something wrong and God doesn't care. And yet we prayed in our responsorial psalm, I praise you, Lord, for I am wonderfully made. Could Elizabeth have sung that, who struggled with barrenness for all those decades? But that invites us to see again that God is not perfect in getting every T crossed and every I dotted. God is perfect in mercy. And there is nothing wasted with the Lord. There is nothing broken that won't become more glorious, nothing wounded that won't radiate with healing and love. There is nothing that seems out of place that will not only be in place, but in a more beautiful way than we ever could have imagined. God has a way of using everything to bring about our glorification and also his glorification. And so all of those years of barrenness is precisely why Elizabeth could say, the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her. If she had conceived a child 9 months after her wedding, she wouldn't have known the mercy of God. But precisely all those years of barrenness made it possible for her to say, God has shown me great mercy. And Our Lady, of course, just before this, had sung the same words, the Lord has looked with favor on his lowly servant. Because Mary, in a way, was hopelessly barren, that is to say, virginal and without a husband. Mary had no hope in virginity of ever bearing a child, and yet God had shown his favor. He had poured out his mercy upon her, upon his lowly servant, not because we deserve it, but because we need it, because we have misery. Find your misery, and you will open a place for God's mercy. And so instead of running from it in the silence, it's a good place to go, confident that every space of misery within us, every loss and brokenness, every area that we feel deprived and like we haven't gotten a fair shake and we didn't get everything that everybody else got, everywhere that envy wells up in us or anger or grasping or gluttony or avarice or lust or anything that we find ourselves missing in ourselves and grasping at somewhere else is a place of misery that God wants to fill with his mercy, that he wants to fill with his tenderness, that he wants to bring healing and transformation to. Those are the places that he wants to go in us this weekend. And we will discover the kind of joy that Elizabeth knew and that Mary knew, that God can take all of that and make something so beautiful out of it. God writes straight with our crooked lines. He does much more than that. He makes beautiful artwork out of our crooked lines, if we'll let him, if we allow him to touch those places in our hearts. So let us ask for the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist. You can pray in a special way to John the Baptist for me. As I said, God likes to work through human beings. He'll work very directly with us in our prayers, and we should expect that. But he likes to work through human beings too, and that's the way that John the Baptist, as a human being, could prepare the way of the Lord. Always sending people away from him and pointing them to the Lord. But you could say a little prayer to John the Baptist that I'll be able to carry out that ministry for you this weekend. And above all, let us bring all of that to the Holy Eucharist and allow the Lord, who becomes very small but full of glory and grace and mercy, to enter into us and fill all of those empty spaces in us, all of those places that feel like they're barren and broken, to fill them with mercy.